This is a Prism Webcast News production. In this interview, I speak to Cindy Baxter of Greenpeace, who attended the meeting in Bali. I started off by asking her, what for Greenpeace were the good points that came out of the Bali meeting's agreements?
Well, the good points are that we actually got agreement to continue with, or to kick off negotiations on cutting greenhouse emissions and further cutting them after the Kyoto Protocol's first phase ends in 2012. So there's a long way to go, but yes, it was a good first step, I think.
I understand there's some controversy about emission reduction targets. Are there any specifically in there?
Well, there are in the end. Actually, what happened in the end was that this range of targets that the industrialised countries were fighting over, which was cutting emissions from 25 to 40% by 2020, were actually agreed in the end. Now, we didn't think they were going to be. New Zealand came on board. New Zealand very, very strongly supported that, which we're very pleased about. Australia was a big question mark right until the end, and they actually agreed it as well. So this is what we need for the climate, for cuts in emissions, deep cuts. We need to halve global emissions by 2050. So, it's a huge problem, and we certainly made a good start to it.
Yes, it looked like for a while there Australia may have signed up, but in fact they went in there to play a spoiling role, really.
Well, exactly, and this was the big disappointment throughout the meeting, was that Australia, even though Kevin Rudd decided that he announced that he would sign Kyoto or ratify Kyoto, the delegation continued to act, and Australia continued to act in the meeting exactly the same way as if it was still a Howard government. So that was extremely disappointing, and they really helped weaken what could have been a much stronger agreement.
How would you rate the New Zealand's delegation?
New Zealand took a while to get there, but New Zealand actually did support quite this range of deep cuts, and New Zealand also ended up playing quite a central role in bringing the countries together, so we were pretty pleased with New Zealand's performance overall.
All right, well, that's pretty good. About forests, how are they going to tackle deforestation, particularly tropical forests in places like Indonesia and stuff like that? How's that going to be worked out?
This meeting was really just kicking off what's going to be 2 years of negotiations to get the details of strengthening Kyoto. What they agreed was to start talking about the 20% of CO2 emissions from tropical deforestation. So they actually agreed to actually include this in the Kyoto's second phase, which was quite a huge step, even though, it could have all been stronger. I mean, the spoiler and the hold of this negotiation, the hold of the last 2 weeks, was the United States, which really set out to undermine and weaken every single part of this agreement.
What were they trying to do to stop agreement?
Well, what the US was doing was they started off objecting to a lot of smaller issues that were going to really, really upset the developing countries. The developing countries, including China, came to this meeting with a really good attitude, with proposals, with a really good sort of intention to get things done. And the US just started off by undermining them all the way through. I'll give you an example. This is one area which sounds boring, but it was called capacity building, where they would actually, the process would give countries, smaller developing countries, money to so that they could actually take part in these sort of negotiations and make them a level playing field. I mean, the US normally comes with a delegation of 200 people, and you'll get Vanuatu with three. So the US, their idea of how this should work was actually to evaluate the performance. They were insisting on the performance evaluation of how these countries were going to act in these sort of negotiations, which was just insulting. And all sorts of different things that they tried to just undermine it from the word go. So it didn't succeed, which was a good thing. Basically, the whole world stood up to the US, probably for the first time in this sort of process.
And how did the other big one, China, play its hand there?
Well, China was actually being very, very cooperative. China was putting proposals on the table, putting ideas forward that would, broker deals. China was playing a very good role. And the US and Australia in particular have spent years pointing the finger at China, when actually China has got domestic targets and timetables for cutting emissions, which are much better than Australia and the US. So China was really came on board, and this was where the US actually failed in its strategy, because it wasn't expecting China to be so good.
Well, that sounds a bit strange, because we've also heard reports that China's completing one coal-fired power station per week at the moment.
China is on a very, you know, obviously on a very steep energy growth path. The idea is that China is building new coal-fired power stations, but they're also closing down the dirtiest of the coal-fired power stations. I haven't seen that happening in the US. China's got a 15% renewable energy target by 2020. It's got a very strong energy efficiency target. Its fuel efficiency in its car fleet is better than the US or Australia or Canada. China's still a developing country, but and per capita emissions in China per person, you've only got 4 tons per person per year of emissions, carbon emissions from a Chinese person, and 20 for the US. And I think there's one person, I think one journalist once asked in a press conference sometime during the last 2 weeks, he said, do you really think that some people have got a right to emit more carbon than others? So, you know, we've got to look at the whole idea of this. One of the big issues in this conference was the issue of technology transfer, where the rich countries help the developing world to actually decarbonize their growth so they can continue to grow, but with clean energy, with energy efficiency, with renewable energy. And that was another big issue at the meeting, which also progressed.
I understand there's also talk of a global carbon dioxide tax. Was anything coming of that, or was it just still being kicked around?
No, that wasn't mentioned at all. There's a global CO2 tax. Global carbon tax isn't something that you would get in this sort of meeting, in this sort of agreement, because, 80% of the emissions in the atmosphere at the moment come from the industrialised world. So what you need to do is, what this process is all about is getting, agreed right back in 92, that, the rich countries would go first and they would cut their emissions first, and that other, the developing world would come later because they weren't so far progressed in the economic growth. And that, the concentration really has been to have deep cuts in emissions from the north first, and then developing countries and big developing countries like China would follow later.
I also understand there was some talk about as part of the next WTO round, or at the same time, taking away subsidies and taxes against sustainable technology such as wind power and stuff like that, and solar, so it makes it more cost effective for the developing world. Was there any progress on that?
The trade ministers did meet during this climate talks, but they are beginning discussions on removing subsidies for renewable energy, but I'm not sure exactly how far they got.
So overall, how would you rate this meeting and its agreements?
Overall, it was a good first start, but it could have been so much better if it hadn't been for the wrecking ball that the US tried to throw into this. The US and Australia, to be honest, and Canada and Japan. Now, the other countries came along in the end, but, the whole 2 weeks was spent just with these countries fighting any progress, and really just, just trying to wreck the whole thing. They didn't succeed. And I think, what you've got to look at is climate change is inevitable. It's happening already. We do have a chance to slow it, but we already are committed to some level of climate change. So, I think we'll probably say that, we wouldn't get the Kyoto Protocol, and we did. And the Kyoto Protocol wouldn't be ratified, and it was. And they said that we wouldn't get this mandate, but we did. And, action on climate change is unstoppable. That's what we saw here, and it's a relief that we are moving forward on this issue, because it's what the science demands.
Yes, well, I suppose that's the best thing we can hope for at this stage, is that there is still progress towards hopefully a positive goal.
Absolutely. We owe it to the future. This is, the science this year that we've seen on this, the science that's come in on climate change is frightening. But we do have an opportunity to stop it. We do have a chance to slow climate change, and to stop climate change from reaching the dangerous levels really would impact everybody.
That was Cindy Baxter of Greenpeace.